B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You know, they would like to acknowledge the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds. Together, we'll all get through this difficult time and come out of it stronger than ever. Yes, we will. All right, so one last little postscript on the Jacksonville thing, man. Because these are things that stick in my head because, like, I was an impressionable kid. So why is this stuff sticking in your head? Because it was different, right? Mm-hmm. So there wasn't the proliferation of college hoops on TV. Like, there wasn't social media. So right. You didn't know about these things. All of a sudden, here comes the NCAA tournament, and now it focuses on. And here comes this strange team out of this small school with 2 7-footers.
Right. You hadn't seen anything like it before.
No. It was almost like, why do you remember the Oakland A's when they were winning championships? Because they had the white spikes, and they had this flashy golden green, right? Mm-hmm. You remember that.
Yeah.
And this team was like that. They had those kind of uniforms, if I remember. And on top of that, if I am correct, they had a head coach, an eccentric head coach, who wore a cream-colored suit.
Oh, that's
or a white suit.
That's going to be harder to research.
His name was, I think... leave it this. Richard Williams? Something like that. Williams, I think, was his name. And here comes this splash on the scene of this Cinderella tournament team. I don't even know if they won a game. They might have. They might have won a couple of games and then got eliminated. But they were a story. They were a national story because they came out of nowhere.
Now, how about this?
What?
I'm looking up Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
Now, they've only been in the tournament 5 times ever.
Yeah.
In their history. But they made a Final Four run and made it to the final game in 1970.
Could that have been the one with Artis Gilmore?
Yeah, they made the tournament in 70, 71, and 73, and then 79, 86, and then haven't been back. But yeah, that was the only time, 1970.
And that must have been the great team.
They lost to UCLA on the way they beat Western Kentucky, Iowa, Kentucky State.
There you go.
I mean, Kentucky right. State Bonaventure. And then UCLA in the final in 1970. They were one and done in 71 and 70. They've been one and done every year since.
His last name was Williams. If you can pull up here, he wore a white suit, this coach. Like, he was a tall white man with a white suit. And they, like, this team, this strange bunch of aliens from, like, nobody ever heard of. All of
Joe
a sudden,
Williams.
Joe Williams. All right. I thought his name was Williams.
Joe Williams was the coach.
He went with this.
Is there
a picture of him in a white suit?
Was it like a leisure suit?
No, it was a suit.
I see it.
It was just cream color, white.
And that sure like, is go, a
what
white
is
suit.
This team from? What is this? It was just a strangity.
It's Florida.
Yeah, I see him.
I suppose.
Dark hair.
Yeah.
Looks like a distinguished enough gentleman.
He does look distinguished. It looks like there's plaid. Are you looking at the same photo I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plaid on that suit.
Plaid? I don't remember him wearing a white.
No, it's white, but it's white, not
but
solid.
It's got all right, there's okay. Some sort of stripes.
Yeah, he's shaking John Wooden's hand, yeah. I guess, before the championship game. And that absolutely was Gilmore, because I'm seeing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawrence Gilmore and Pembroke Brothers, 2 7-footers. All right, now back to this last dance, the winners and losers and things. Now, here's a paragraph that struck me in this story about it. Because he's making the point that the people that watched this were just enamored with the whole legend of Jordan, re-enamored with it. That's what this documentary brought out. So this writer admits to that. Like, he's an awestruck juror. And he goes, I am transfixed by the man. His competitiveness, his smile, his athletic grace, and mesmerizing coolness. The man is an icon in every sense of the word. This is what Anthony tells me all the time. He was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan was a man.
An alpha and all that. Yeah.
Right, he was an alpha. A gravity-defying superhero, this guy goes. And then he goes, but to tell you the truth, I don't even believe he was a perfect basketball player. I believe he played against relatively inferior competition and was so far ahead of his peers athletically that this, quote, refuse to lose mantra in some ways wrote itself. I do not believe for a second that Jordan would be undefeated in the finals in today's game. Ooh, Church of Jordan people, not liking that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow.
That's got to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Drew? How you doing?
I'm doing good. So now that the final, The Last Dance is over, and we do know 10-part episodes that we saw, what athlete do you think would be most deserving of something like of that same type of caliber, 10-parter documentary to be aired about them now that this one's over? Who do you think would be the next?
What American athlete? The only one I could think of that would be close would be Brady.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking, Brady.
I mean, that's the only one I could come up with. I'm trying to think, like, in baseball, like, who's great enough that would get attempted? Nobody has that marketing pull to them. And right, in hockey, obviously, it's not as prevalent. So, like, Brady's the only guy that I think would years from now that they would do that with.
Right, that's what I think makes this, so much more incredible, the fact that Jordan is one of the, elite athletes that was able to have something like
this. He's the most elite athlete of all time, when you think about it, really. If he's number one in basketball, then you got to say he's the most elite athlete of all time. He's the one that is most recognized, not only here, but abroad, as the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and I actually had the privilege once of him giving me a head nod once.
He gave you a head nod, did he?
I got a head nod, but he was Charles Barkley, who's actually, this is a funny story, he was caddying for Michael Jordan at White Manor Country Club, out of all places, if you know where that is.
Barkley was caddying for Jordan, which says all you need to know.
Yeah, so they walked by. Actually, Barkley shook my hand. It was real friendly, and Jordan kind of was like, "Yo, Charles, hurry up!" And I just kind of gave me like a little head nod, like, "Stop talking to my boy."
Who was in the foursome? If Barkley,
I don't know who was
in playing.
The foursome. I think Mike Schmidt might have been playing.
All right, so Barkley goes. I can tell Barkley made a judgment there. He's got his boys with Michael, but he's not going to play against those dudes because he knows he's going to get smoked. And if Jordan's betting cash, big cash money, Barkley doesn't mind losing money, but he know that he would be outmatched in a situation like that. So just to stay involved, he goes, "I'll carry the bag, Mike."
There you go. That's smart.
Just to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. I'll be here, but I'm not going to be losing. I'm not losing $10,000.
Right, because you're talking about Barkley taking it, like at that time, he wasn't. He was still a double-digit handicap. Are you talking about Jordan Schmidt, whoever else, or single-digit guys?
Right.
All right, let's go Glenn in Roxborough. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Glenn.
Hey, gentlemen and lady, how's everyone doing?
What's up, Glenn?
Hey, when you're on hold, you hear some interesting scenarios. I don't think Jordan would fare well today with today's players because I just don't think that attitude works now. I like when he was leaving the NBA and he wound up with Washington again. Those players didn't connect with him. My question is, watching this...
Yeah, because he wasn't as great, though. He didn't exude greatness when he's with the Wizards.
Yeah, but he's past his prime.
Yeah, I get it, but if you're so much better than everybody else, you can get away with it.
If you are, yeah. By the way, while I was on hold, you guys wanted to know about folks that went down to the shore or anything. Is that correct?
Yes.
We went down to Rehoboth Beach. Mm-hmm. Just on a whim, just to drive out, get out the house, get out of the city. Going down, it was great. No traffic, hardly anything. You get down there, though, and you park, and it's just an eerie, awkward, anxiety feeling. There are people out there. Some are wearing masks. Some aren't. Some places are open. Most aren't. If you try to eat, well, you got a mask on, or you got a mask hanging. Where do you gather? You see some folks gathering who are talking stuff about it being this and that, and you see folks on the beach without a mask. You're kind of like, it just felt uneasy. So we didn't stay long, mm-hmm. and we just left. And you kind of felt that throughout.
Well, I don't think people felt uneasy about the Jersey Shore. Now, Rehoboth is a little less populated, a little more esoteric. You're going to the Wildwood Boardwalk, the Ocean City Boardwalk. You're talking about a lot of people that were down there. And I was looking at the video and looking at the pictures, and there were a lot of no masks, a lot of no social distancing. And I just wondered what people were thinking.
Well, I can tell you this is a true story. While we were walking, we did overhear people talking about this Jordan stuff. And one of the guys was wondering, what do the younger players of today think about watching what it took to win back then, what Jordan went through from Detroit to Chicago? And are the Sixers watching? And do Ben and Joel, what's their takeaway from all of this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure, like, these players are still in awe of Jordan. The players that today are all in awe of Jordan.
But the same work ethic and attitude and everything?
And that, well, you know, it's a lot of people think these players don't have work ethic. I disagree with that. I think to be athletic and be in shape like they are, they have a work ethic.
Yeah, like,
it's because the game is so much faster. Well, you have that work ethic.
That's one thing. They do the tracking. Embiid covers so much ground, and Embiid needs to be in better shape. I'm saying it out loud. He needs to be in better shape. But he covers significantly more ground than a center in Jordan's era did. He's asked to move much more because of the level of defense you have to play now. So it's... all of them can look to Jordan and work hard and all that kind of stuff, but this notion that players today don't work hard or I like this guy because he works hard is dumb. 99% of the guys do work hard.
Well, and I feel like they're more disciplined now. They don't have reckless behavior where they're going off to Las Vegas.
Not much cigar smoking in today's players. You know? Not nearly as much drinking, like as far as hard. Some of them drink some wine.
Yeah.
But outside of wine, you hardly see any of these guys drink anything other than wine.
Yeah, the nutrition. They're not eating pizza.
Not nearly as much. Right. They're not like we get mad about Embiid with the Chick-fil-A. Well, Jordan ate a whole pizza. Like, it's
that,
we sometimes we deify the old school like they were all automatically better. No, like you said, these guys work hard.
Yeah. All right. On that note, he's talking about the beach. This is what I asked earlier. The equation is the denial of your civil liberties versus getting sick. And so I asked the question a little earlier. Why is getting sick secondary to this notion that your civil liberties are being denied? Because if you ignore that part of it and you go out and you do get sick and then all of a sudden your family is affected by you getting sick, what do you think then? Do you say to yourself, was it worth it? See, that's what I think. You have to ask yourself the question, was it worth it? And you might have to ask that question if that happens to you.
Yeah, that's
so that's all I want people to reflect on.
That's a good
was
point.
It worth it? Todd in Allentown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Hey, good evening, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on that last guy's caller, and not so much about the Jersey Shore, or I guess he was down in Rehoboth, but I've seen people on TV, and even some of the people that I know socially who have said, well, I'm going to get it. And my response always to them is, well, are you... if you're not concerned about yourself, that's fine. If you want to jump out of an airplane and go, you know, by yourself and, you know, take a parachute and jump out, fine. But when you're walking around and you're not have a mask on and you're not social distancing and you're not washing your hands, you're not only gambling or rolling the dice with you, but you're rolling the dice with everybody else. And for the young people who are, you know, don't have an underlying illness and they're in good health and they work out and they go, well, you know, those are the people who are passing it potentially to other people who, you know, maybe are going through cancer treatments or who maybe have an underlying illness who are old. So my advice to them is, listen, if you're going to be selfish, which I view it as selfish, how about doing something selfless? And if you're not scared of getting the disease and you're not scared of dying, the CDC and WHO and a lot of researchers are looking for human volunteers now to volunteer to test out vaccines. So how about doing that?
Yeah, here's the biggest BS, because everybody is scared of dying. There's nobody out there that's not scared of dying. And you can, like, flex your muscles all you want. Everybody is scared of dying. It's just that you don't think it's a realistic possibility because right now you're healthy and you have no frame of reference that you could be dying. And if you're dying, then what's your family think about that?
Right. Exactly my point. These people who are just... you can be careless with yourself, like I said. If you want to jump out of a plane and be careless with yourself and try, you know... skydiving, go for it. Just don't bring me with you.
It's a great point. And like he brought up, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. Which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Because if you take precautions, you're not going to get it. So it's like, I could possibly get hit by a car if I cross the street. Yes, you could. But there's more of a chance you're going to get hit by a car if you jaywalk. All right? So, like, there's... there's always like the percentage that you can add to it. So if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it is one of the stupidest things anybody could say.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it, though.
Yes.
And then what'd you think about, I'm not going to do a commercial for them, that gym that decided to open with the hope that the owner hoped he would get arrested so that to bring more attention. And instead, the cops didn't take the bait. He got a ticket, but no arrest or anything like that. I'm sure there'll be somebody who suggests he could lose his business, but that's up to the state to decide. But opening just for attention under the guise of my business is essential. Like, what'd you think about that?
You know why I think about it. You have to ask me that question. What I think about it. I like to punch the guy in the head.
Now,
to be honest with you.
Now, I'll try to present his side. He'll say to you, but Mike, I have employees,
mm-hmm.
and he was wearing a mask. I have employees.
Yeah,
I need these guys to get back to work.
I totally understand the economic hardship. I totally understand it. And I'm sorry for it. But you don't have control over it. The virus does. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. I can't change the rules for you. You have to follow the guidelines like everybody else, try to get the relief that you need, the unemployment you need. And I know it's not enough. I get it. But you're not measuring the other catastrophe that you're opening yourself up to. So it's like penny wise, pound foolish. Aaron in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Michael, how you doing? Today?
What's up, Aaron?
Not much. I want to talk a little bit about salary cap, but just thinking about the mask, I just want to make a point. You know, I respect your opinion, but
Aaron, do me a favor. You sound really echoey. Is this a? Can you take me off speaker?
You're not off speaker.
Yeah, we got a bad connect. I tell you what, call us right back. All right. Yeah, we got a bad connect. I can hardly hear you. Anthony in Ocean City. What's up, Anthony? What's going on in Ocean City?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking the call. It's crazy down here. I lived down here for the past couple months, weeks. Been peaceful, not a lot of people down here. All of a sudden, the warmer weather, everybody's been coming down. It's people that are, the rules don't apply to certain people, apparently. Those people are coming down. When the boardwalk was closed, they were running on the boardwalk, biking it, going under the dividers. It just didn't apply to them. They didn't apply to everybody else.
Well, there's a lot of people that had that attitude, and I'm just like, I'm trying to have a conversation here. Why? Yeah. That's why I want to talk to people who didn't care or went down there. Like, why don't you care? Like, why?
Oh, no. I lived down here. They didn't care for whatever reason. I don't know. They felt as if they had to get their exercise in. They had to see other stuff in the house. For whatever reason, they just decided that they didn't want to abide by the rules by the city and state and by the mayor here. For whatever reason, they had to get out there.
Well, because they're looking at it as a violation of their civil liberties. And that's the conversation I want to have. Why do you believe it's a violation of your civil liberties? It just is what it is.
Yeah. I think also they just felt as if they didn't, it's the outside, it's a free space to some degree, and they decided they wanted to take leisure of it. There's people golfing on the beach when it was closed. It was just that thing, if you tell somebody they can't do it, they're going
to
do it.
Yeah, I guess because they have this entitlement in America that you're allowed to do whatever you want. It's a free country.
And they're still not wearing the mask on the boardwalk. They're still riding. Everything you can do, even the boardwalk's open, but not wearing the mask, it's just reckless. And there's so, even like you said earlier, the pizza place was mobbed. The whole boardwalk was mobbed. I didn't go out there. I'm not that.
Yeah, no, I saw it. I saw the photos. I saw the video of it. It was a little disturbing.
It's
like Mayor Kenny said, you can't save people from themselves. You know,
you get on there right now, you can get a whole pie, and there's no line. You just call it in. They pick up on the on the sidewalk right there.
All right, Anthony, you hang in there. Yeah, I mean. Memorial Day is going to be a mad crush because it's supposed to be like really nice, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to rain.
Regardless, the Philadelphia Health Commissioner came out today and begged people not to go, and he said, if you do go, please follow the rules so you're not going down to the shore and bringing it back here with you, because Philly's at a really good place right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the virus and the number of cases,
Philly's doing really well.
So it's kind of. Take the precautions this weekend so you don't bring it back here and there's not a spike, because the more spikes there are, the longer this will go on where the lockdown is still in place.
Yes.
Trying to get to phase yellow. You know,
I hate to put this on authorities, but and it's a big boardwalk, both Ocean City and Wildwood, but you have to police it. I mean, you can't like the lack of social distancing, people have to be reminded constantly. And you know, the mask thing, we need to remind people constantly. You want to go on the boardwalk? Okay. But listen, do a couple things.
Does it concern you?
The tough part is the mask outdoors is you can't enforce. You can only do it inside. Individual business owners can say you must have a mask, but you can't enforce that outside.
Yeah, I get it.
And then those cops, a lot of them are the seasonal cops. Do you want them to be interacting with hundreds of people? Because they would have to, if you were to start writing out tickets, you got to write a lot. So you got to be around a lot of people.
You don't have to write a ticket. Just remind people. Like,
the announcements on all the boardwalks have those PA announcements. Please separate. Mm-hmm. Some people would listen.
Yeah.
Some people would listen.
It's going to rain Saturday, but it's going to be nice Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I mean, people still going to go down there. But I mean, Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're not going to go to your house?
No.
What are you going to do with it?
Huh?
You can go sit at the crib.
Was it going to wash away? It's going to still be there. I don't have to go this weekend.
See, that's why
I don't like to go during the weekends where there are going to be a lot of people.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, because I'm not a traffic fighter, I'm not a, you know, especially now, I don't like the overcrowding thing will creep me out.
I can see that. I was debating trying to go down, but not go on any boardwalk, just to sit on a deck. Like, have a place.
Yeah, that's what I would
sit
do.
On a deck and not even interact with people, just to be sitting somewhere other than my house since it's been so long. But I don't know. I don't think so.
A lot of the people who I saw, you know, on the news reports from this weekend said, yes, we went out and we were shocked at how many people there were. But it's kind of like, well, you went too.
So, of course.
Yeah. I'm actually going down tonight.
You are?
Yeah, but it's down. I got to drop something off. I got to drop some lights off.
So, you got to go down and
come
back.
I got a guy putting lights on the front. We're changing the lights.
Oh, nice.
Oh, look at that.
So,
that house.
I know. What's up with the tree? What's up with the tree situation?
You get that all worked up?
Was that from last summer?
Yeah, the trees are.
It's done, right?
There's three new ones in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
As far as I know, they're doing all right. I haven't really.
Hopefully, they're still there.
Yeah, I just got to drop off some lights so the dude can put them up. But I'm out. I'm back and, you know, it's just a ride down.
Back to digging the boulders.
And there'll be no traffic today.
No. All right, 610-632-0975. Mike Mastella Show, there's no sound off today, so we'll take calls until we get out of here, and we're back after this.
The Mike Mastella Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5:30. It's time to get our final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, whether it be a zero ton or otherwise, or you need other outdoor power equipment, go to the place where they're the experts and they can tell you exactly what you're getting. Paul B. Moyer & Sons, they have it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup. Just roll out to their joint in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Agnew, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll had over 1,000 votes on it. Should the Jordan Bulls have had a chance to go after their seventh championship? 84% say yes, 16% say no.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
People trying to test me with colleges all of a sudden.
Well, because...
Come on, man.
You haven't gotten one wrong.
I haven't, and I won't.
He says,
I just got his email.
Uh-huh.
All right, Darryl Griffith, Albert King, Sam Worthen. Louisville, Maryland, Marquette.
Well, that's strong.
Come on. It's weak. It's weak stuff. It's Sam Worthen. People don't even know who the hell it is.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I'll give you his college.
I mean, you're good with those colleges,
it's just something that I do. Stick in my head. I don't know why. Why would it be? I don't know. I guess I'm paying attention to where guys went to college.
You know what we should do?
What?
We do it every so often. Maybe we do it on Friday as people head out of town. where you give the school and the people have to give a certain number of players. Where you do the quizzing, the callers, you give out UCLA and they got to name the first three that comes to their names. That's usually fun. When you quiz them, it's more fun than when they quiz you.
All right.
Put people on the spot.
Yeah. Sam Worthen was an NBA player, Tyrell. You remember him?
No.
Yeah, he was a guard.
I don't remember.
Who did he play with? Let's see. Yeah, he looked like an alien head. A big dome, bald head.
Gotta look him up. I don't remember.
Played a couple years in the league. I forget him with who. Sly in West Philly. Sly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sly.
Mike, hey, what's going on,
what's
man?
Up, Sly?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there.
I got a couple best outs for you, but I got a little bit on The Last Dance.
Okay.
One of the things that The Last Dance said it reminded you of, because Jordan said it at the beginning and at the end, is that he wants Chicago to be like the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Sixers. People forget how much the Sixers was in the mix of all of that stuff in the early 80s.
Oh, yeah. That's when he's being interviewed. His college days.
Lakers had to go through the Sixers, or Boston had to go through the Sixers in order.
Exactly. Sixers were there every year. From 77 on to 83. They were in there every year, and they just couldn't get over the top.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about it now, because people don't really look at the Sixers like that, but they were so much a part of what was going on in the NBA back then. It was, they were a great team. You know, and had they won one more, then people would be talking about them in the middle of the Celtics and the Lakers.
And I'll tell you something, Howard Katz is a controversial owner. But he made a couple things happen. Now, he did get cheap when he wanted to be. But he brought George McGinnis here to rekindle that whole franchise. I don't know how he snagged Irving. But he had to go through a lot of hoops to make that deal happen. And he got Moses Malone.
Yeah.
And then they drafted Tony in that whole thing, because they had a really good general manager. They were savvy back then.
Yeah, but he wasn't the one that got Doc, though. It was Fitz Dixon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember they had to outmaneuver somebody to make it happen.
Yeah, because Pat Williams was the one that had to convince him to trade for Doc because the Nets couldn't afford him. So that's how.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way it happened. But they made a big score at McGinnis.
Yeah, no doubt, because that was the guy that put them back on the map after they only won 9 games.
Yep.
Here's a couple of my bust outs, though. And these are guys who made noise in the tournament or either won or whatever. And I know you're good at this, but I'll see what you do.
All right.
Butch Lee
Marquette.
Jack Givens.
Goose Givens led to Kentucky.
Right. Scotty Thurman.
Scotty Thurman, Arkansas.
Roosevelt Chapman. Roosevelt Chapman.
I don't even know who he is. Who's Roosevelt Chapman? Oh, Dayton.
Right.
Dayton. I had Dayton. I spit out Dayton before you got it. Roosevelt Chapman. That's right. He went to Dayton.
Right. All right. Hawkeye Whitney.
Hawkeye Whitney, NC State.
Right. And Fennis
Dembo. Ready for this? Wyoming.
Right. Well, I got you on one, though.
No, man, you didn't give me a. I got that. I spit that Roosevelt Chapman out before
you
said it.
You got it before you said it.
That's pretty good.
Fennis Dembo.
Yeah.
Fennis Dembo. Come on, man. Fennis wore a Band-Aid on his shoulder.
Why?
For no reason.
What? Yeah. There had to be a reason.
No, there's no reason.
Probably a luck thing or just.
He wore a Band-Aid. On his invisible Band-Aid right here on his shoulder.
I swore Scotty Thurman was going to have a big NBA career because he could shoot it.
Yeah.
I thought,
Well, I was a squad back then.
Yeah. Corliss in your chest.
That was 40 minutes of hell.
Yeah, they were beating people up back then.
All right, let's go to Laura in Rockledge. Laura, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Laura.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
How's everybody
going?
Good. How you doing?
Well, thank you. So this Memorial Day weekend coming up definitely has me a little nervous. So I run a beer and wine garden in the supermarket in a suburb of Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have vendors calling me like, oh, you got to double and triple up. It's Memorial Day weekend. And I'm like, people are not supposed to be gathering. What is going on?
I think everybody's, I didn't get the memo. I didn't see anything on the news, but it seems like a lot of people are acting like this is over.
Yeah, well, that's a problem. Like, that's a problem that they think that way.
Imagination, yeah.
It's always a taffy pull with people. Like, their freedoms are restricted, but it's also nice weather. They feel they're entitled to go out. I understand that part of it. Just play by some rules is all.
And there's the other part is, well, there's rules, but nobody's enforcing the rules.
Well, you're right. That's what I would like to see more of. Have the pain in the butt who checks for your beach tag. Throw that guy on the boardwalk and be a pain in the butt.
Every single person who doesn't have a mask on.
Right, just remind them. Just a friendly reminder. Friendly reminder, social distance.
Or a not-so-friendly reminder, here's a $500 fine for being an idiot.
Right, and they can actually put that on a loudspeaker. If you can put the tram car on a loudspeaker.
Right, absolutely. You know, and then maybe they'll get some revenues back for not having, so many people down the shore, because all the idiots that are going down the shore are going to pay fines for being idiots.
Yeah.
Saying.
I got you, Laurie. And listen, you be careful.
Thank you. And you as well. And people, seriously, say what? No partying. No partying, no social gathering over the Memorial Day. I get it, but please don't.
Yeah, I know. There's going to be a lot of people. Here's the thing that may alleviate it a little bit. The crowds. The bars and clubs aren't open.
Right.
So a large populace of young people will not overcrowd the beach area. And so maybe the people that are going down are just the people that own places. I don't know.
But some people might go to a liquor store or whatever, but they're more likely to be in a self-contained unit and not go spreading it.
Yeah,
well, there's nowhere to technically spread it.
Families are going to hang together.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It's not fine. Because they're coming from different... Like, they're not all living together here.
I thought you meant a family of five that already lives together.
Families think they have family immunity.
Oh, no, we don't.
Because the DNA is the same. Right. So they think they get... And that's misguided.
Yeah, no, it stinks because I've been having to be my dad, because he's at risk.
Mm-hmm.
It stinks. But we got to keep our distance, trying to take care of them.
Yes.
It's not fun, but...
So how are you doing it? You bringing stuff to them and just dropping it on the door, or what are you doing with that?
Between my brother and I, I'm getting stuff delivered. And he's been he's been pretty good about this. He's relative to a very stubborn man.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a good job.
He has some good sons, man, taking care of them.
Well, we're trying to.
Yeah.
We're trying to. We ask him what he needs. He's pretty stubborn, but he'll let us know once in a while, I need...
Uh-huh.
A little something. He won't really be fully honest, so we just add a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Let's go, Bill in Seawood. Bill, what's where's Seawood?
Collingswood.
Oh, Collingswood. Oh,
okay. Yeah, Seawood.
It spelled that S-E-A for me, so I thought it was like a Jersey Shore place.
No, you did all that right. Last time.
Okay.
First of all, I called a couple times ago at the beginning of the pandemic, and hey, guys, good to see Nat back, and good to see you all, still hanging in there.
Well, thank you. Hello? Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm out of quandary. You know, I talked to you before at the beginning of the pandemic how I had tuberculosis from the Navy back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a union member, I talked to you about Ty, about when the NCAA was, and, lawyers had to go through school, that old argument, and so did the carpenters. Well, here's my point. I was scared that, I was out of work, didn't collect unemployment, and I got called back to work after being out 6 weeks. Scary situation. What do? You know what I mean? Do you go back to work? I didn't collect unemployment. But if you don't go back to work, you can be called out and said, you didn't go back to work. So I went back to work because I was broke. 6 weeks not getting paid. You got to go back to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a touchy situation. And this is this is where the government should have a better plan.
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to get back to work, there should be provisions.
Well, I went back to work 2 weeks ago. No big deal. You know what I mean? Got to do what I got to do for the family. But I drove the motorcycle down to the shore. And, Michael, I could not believe all the people down there.
Yeah, it's almost like they opened the gates. And if you've been sheltered, the first thing you want to do is rush out. but and you're not thinking clearly because you have this desperate need to get out. So not clear thinker thinks that you're not in peril, but that's not the case. All right, last break of the show. We'll come back. We'll squeeze in a few more calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's time to tighten up as we head down the home stretch of the Mike Missinelli Show today. I want to remind people that, you know, there are obviously those on the front line who help keep our community safe. Doctors, nurses, educators, more the health heroes of this world. So if there's a health hero in your life you'd like to recognize, just go to our website, 975thefanatic.com. Right now, nominate somebody special. Check out our webpage, social media pages, and listen on the air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Each day this week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card from Decent Watson, Premium Meats and Arts and Cheeses, and your local ShopRite Market. For pickup, order online at ShopRite.com. ShopRite.com. Shop. I don't know what this says.
What?
It says shop.shoprite.com. Can that be right? Or is this a misprint? It says shop.shoprite.com.
At your local
shop.
For pickup order online. I want to get the website right so that it doesn't seem to be right. But what is it?
At shoprite.com.
At shoprite.com? Okay, shoprite.com.
Oh, wait, no. Shop.shoprite.com is
that's right.
That's right? Yes.
Shop.shoprite.com?
Correct.
Yeah.
So two shops.
Shop.shoprite. Yes.
All right. There you go. Anyway, our Health Heroes program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your family comfortable at home. So go to nopaybryant.com and find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. We are all in this together. Again, this is 97.5 The Fanatic, the website. All right, let's go. Jay in Roxborough. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Mike?
How are you?
What, good. When I'm looking at the comparisons between, like, you know, when you look at Mike from back in the day, and you look at what the game is today, you know, I think people are taking all of what Mike was and you try to pop him into today, but he wouldn't be the same today because the three-point shot is bigger today. Guys don't stay on teams long because they're moving around. So there's a lot of things that if we're talking about 22-year-old Michael Jordan, that guy that didn't win until he turned 28, 29, then or are we talking about the Jordan from 29 to about 34, 35 years old when he finally won the championship?
So well, here's what I'll say about this. The athlete in him would make him able to compete in any era, just like the athlete LeBron would. So I hear what you're saying, and the good factors, but he would have adapted to the three-point shot. It wasn't like he was Ben Simmons. I mean, he could shoot it. He just did rather beat people off the dribble and go medium-range jump shot. But he was a great enough athlete to compete in any era, and so is LeBron.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to take away from either one of those guys because, you know, it's a shame when we do comparisons on guys, we got to take away from another guy in order to make a point about the one that we want to make it about. But, you know, but when I look at Mike's game overall, in today's game, I think that, you know, a guy like a Scottie Pippen, he wouldn't have a Scottie Pippen. He wouldn't have a triangle offense wouldn't work today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, and that's another thing. Phil Jackson needs to probably get about 80% of Michael Jordan's credit.
But listen, Michael Jordan was a dominant player in the league before Phil arrived and before he got the supporting cast. So that dominance as an athlete would compete in any era.
A little disrespectful to Mike there.
Yeah, that was disrespectful.
That's disrespectful.
It was. You're trying to create like the other guys made him. No. He made himself. He was a great athlete who would have adapted in any era. Todd in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Michael Jordan. Mike.
Yes, sir.
Michael Jordan, Church of Jordan, was he the man or what? Oh, I have a question. I have two things real quick, Mike. Michael Jordan's point average, I mean, what did he score per game, right?
Yeah.
And here's the second thing. I knew I liked you, and you know why? I found out I liked you even more. Because you're an old-school Baltimore Bullets fan.
Well, see, there's a lot of things from my youth that have stuck in my brain, and that, like, I loved that Bullets team. Earl Monroe was, like, dazzling to me.
Earl the Pearl!
You know, what's really funny is... last night in the documentary, he said Michael Jordan referred to himself as Black Jesus.
And
so a friend of mine, Darren, tweeted out, "Wow, Black Jesus!" He texted me, and I go, "Yeah, he stole that from Earl Monroe, who was named Black Jesus, the original Black Jesus."
Is that right?
Yes.
To love Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld. Those guys could play ball, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Jones stealing the Black Jesus thing. I go, come on, dude. You got to know enough about the history of the game. You aren't Black Jesus. That's been taken.
Yeah, you got to do your own thing.
Yeah, let's go to Lauren and Voorhees. Lauren, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lauren.
Hi, guys. I can't believe I'm calling for the first time listening forever.
Lauren, what prevented you from calling all this time?
I don't know. I was even going to call the other day. You were talking about Anthony. No, actually, Anthony, there's a whole recording thing I have from Anthony from like 15 years ago talking about Riley Cooper, and you brought it up the other day. And I found it on my, whatever, it was just funny. But I really wanted to talk about everyone going to the shore. Because I've been going since 72, and I don't think people realize if you've never been sick or you don't know something, it's never experienced, you really don't know. I have a friend that she has a little mental illness, and she's like, I need to drive, but I can't stay in my house. I have to drive and listen to music. I said, but you don't understand. I have a best friend that is an EMT. And I have a best friend that's a firefighter. So if you get into an accident, or God forbid you hurt someone, they have to go save your butt and deal with this whole pandemic. And I think people comparing the flu and everything else is there's no vaccine for this. There's no study. There's no nothing. And I'm thinking they're going to go to the shore and go in the ocean. Do the lifeguards have to go in and save these people? It just doesn't make sense.
No, I get it. Like, Lauren, I appreciate it because I hear the earnest tone in your voice. Like, what do you do? Like, this guy sends me an email, right? And he goes, why are you so timid? How scared you are of the virus? So I write back to him. I go, well, I hope you don't get infected and die. You have a family. He goes, I won't get infected and die. Nobody is dying. People have exposed the statistics and how they are inflated. See, what do you do with people like that? All right, man. Listen, if you're in a sick bed and your family's suffering for it, then you'll go, I was wrong. But that's the conclusion you're going to have to come to. All right. Devon Givens is up next on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Lunch Talk Live, and then the Sixers and Grizzlies from February. So how did it feel to be back, Nat?
I'm adjusting.
You're adjusting?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I haven't been here in 2 months. You know, it's kind of like I just need to get back on the bike in the studio.
Well, listen, you're fantastic. You got the screen in front of you now. Everybody's good.
Yes, I feel safe here. It's good, but I'm telling you, it's definitely weird coming back after 2 months. It's been a long time. I'm happy to be here.
Glad to have you back. All right, everybody, be safe out there. Don't be foolish. Have a great rest of the night. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.